The rise and fall of the lies of virtual Japan, or at least that's what I'm calling it, because today we are going to be breaking down Assassin's Creed Shadows, one of the most controversial things I've seen in the video game industry lately, and there's good reason for it, because everyone's asking the question that we're going to answer today. Is this just a tall tale that was embellished for entertainment value, or is this the whitewashing of history? So, let's find out together.
One, two!
Welcome everybody to episode number 2 of Right Click, hosted by yours truly, Birdman, and today, as you heard in the intro, we are talking Assassin's Creed Shadows. This is a game that has a lot of controversy surrounding it right now, but why, right? Like, that's the big thing. This game has only been teased at this point. We have, what, a minute and a half worth of gameplay that's been released, and nothing else, but it's still making all of these waves. That's what we're here to discuss. Now, to understand why this particular game is under so much scrutiny, you have to understand Assassin's Creed as an IP. This is an IP that has dated back for well over a decade now, and they have numerous games, and they have been from one of the biggest production companies and development companies, and that's Ubisoft. Now, for a long time, this was a beloved IP because the whole gist of Assassin's Creed is that it is a partially fictional story in real historical settings. And we're talking about ancient Italy, ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, the Viking Age, the formation of the United States. They span time, and the whole purpose is that you can still learn something about actual history, but have a very neat fictional story interlaced with it. One of the best examples of this is Assassin's Creed 3. It follows a character named Connor, and Connor was a Native American around the time frame of 1754. And you meet real people in it. You meet Ben Franklin. You meet, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, this is designed to be partially historically accurate. And that's what they've always marketed it after. And that's why I've never had a problem, because it's never been, hey, this is one-to-one history. No, this is a historical setting with a fictional tale on top. I think that's awesome. And it makes for great storytelling. However, as the game has grown and as the IP has expanded, they have had the ability to do something that seems very near and dear to them. And that is actual historical representation and learning, actual education. Insofar as in the last three games, which span several years, well over 5 years of development, we have had, actually closer to 10 at this point, we have had the most recent three, which is Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origin, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Now, in these, they were able to put an additional mode with the game. So you have the main game like you've always played, but you have something separate that you can either purchase, or it comes with the collector's edition, and it's called Discovery Mode, or Discovery Tour, technically. And Discovery Tour was always something that was very interesting to me, because I loved playing these games because I could learn real history, and it was fun. But also, with these Discovery Tour add-ons that they put in these most recent games, you got to step away from the fictional story, and you got to walk through an actual 3D visual virtualized world that taught you one-to-one history. Here's what I'm talking about with this. We'll pan over here. This is the actual page on Ubisoft's website for Assassin's Creed Discovery Tour. And these are the three games we were talking about. This is Valhalla on the left, Viking Age. Ancient Greece was Odyssey. And then Ancient Egypt was Origin. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to show you Origin here. This is the actual page for Origin. And the reason I'm specifically choosing Origin is because it's my favorite Assassin's Creed game. Now, what's so important about this is that they showed this Discovery Tour, and they even wrote it as, you can see here, a new educational mode of Assassin's Creed Origins that lets players explore the world of ancient Egypt through guided tours curated by historians and Egyptologists. Now, This is screenshots from the actual gameplay of it. And granted, it's not a game in the traditional sense, but you actually get to go in with a character and walk through these and learn about all this stuff. Everything that you see here, it discusses what it is. It gives you timelines. It shows you actual tombs of pharaohs. It shows you all sorts of detail, and it's actually historically accurate. That's the whole point, right? It's an education tool. Now, I've seen this used in a college setting before, actually multiple times, because it's a great way to get young people interested in history because, hey, it's right in your face, it's a common format, it's video games, and it's cool looking, and it's well done. That is what we have to focus on when we're talking about Assassin's Creed Shadows. Because Assassin's Creed Shadows, for the first time in Assassin's Creed history, is legitimately different. Because in those old games, they said, hey, this is a protagonist that is fiction. This is a fictional protagonist in a realistic historical environment. Now, for the first time in Assassin's Creed history, this protagonist was a real human being. His name is Yasuke. Now, I looked up that pronunciation to make sure I got it right, because it's important. This is a real individual. For the first time in Assassin's Creed, you walk through this probably 40 plus hour storyline set in feudal Japan, and we're talking in the 1500s, right? Early to late 1500s. Yasuke, his main notoriety was in the 1570s, and it's much different this time with him being an actual person who, he's got history behind him. Now, granted, it's not much. But here's why this is so impactful. In the midst of all of this, we can sit here and say, yes, Assassin's Creed was historically based, but with fictional fictional protagonist. And that's great, because it makes for really good storytelling. Objectively, taking everything else away, it is very good storytelling. However, what happens when we take this real human being and extrapolate a storyline that isn't true? That's different. That is different. It's not something that you can argue. That's just the truth. Here's what I'm talking about. I want to start with this article, and this is important because this is actually from Michigan State University, specifically their international studies and the African Studies Center. This was written in 2019, and this article talks about this professor asking his students if they had heard about the story of the one and only African samurai, Yasuke. Now, as he says, it was the only African and first non-Japanese samurai. His story began around 1579 in Edo, Japan. Not much is known about his life before arriving in Japan. Some say he was from the country of Mozambique. I've also heard Nigeria and one other that I don't recall off the top of my head. And came to Japan on a ship with an Italian missionary. There's some accounts that say he was an escaped slave. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because this article from this professor talks about this as fact. If you read this at face value, this is a scholarly article writing as fact and saying, well, some accounts say, but still, this is legitimate information. And if you were just reading and trying to learn about this person, you would think, okay, so this is true. Now, it's worth noting, it says right here, 1579, and then later in it, it says the fall of the man who purchased him, his lord, Nobunaga, technically. His empire fell in 1582, and that was the end of, quote-unquote, the known history of Yasuke. Now, that's, what, 3 years, I believe? Yeah. So, this is important because we're going to come back to this. He mentions this at the end. A book called African Samurai, The True Story of Yasuke, A Legendary Black Warrior in Feudal Japan. Now, why am I bringing this up? That is a scholarly article. And then at the end, he bolsters the words that he wrote by saying, look at this book. This explains even more. You can learn even more. Now, what about from the Smithsonian? Because the Smithsonian magazine, January 10th of 2023, put out this article. Who was Yusuke? Japan's first black samurai. Now, if you read through this, and I'm not going to read through all of this, this is just more detail of what we just read. This is some of the backstory. It's the same thing. This was brought up because of the Netflix anime that came out called Yasuke about this person. And it talks about this same overarching stuff. And if you'd like to read it in its detail, absolutely. I'm not going to spend the time on it because this is stuff that we're going to also harken back to. But the reason I bring this up is because this author points out the same thing. African Samurai, the true story of Yasuke, a legendary black warrior in feudal Japan. That book was co-authored by someone named Thomas Lockley. And now Thomas Lockley has written, I'm going to be very frank here, a bit of a bastardized history of Yasuke. And the reason I'm being so aggressive with this is not to demean this individual, because I know he's a scholar and I know he's very studied on this. But before, and actually 5 years ago, before this Yasuke anime came out, he went on interviews talking about his research of Yasuke and where he came from, who he was, what he did, the timeline he was in. And there is an actual interview that you can go look from the Black Experience Japan page, and it says, was there really a black samurai? And this gentleman on the left is indeed Thomas Lockley. Now, this is a pretty long interview. It's an hour long, and this is one of a few interviews that he did. But this, I believe, is the most important one to the story of what we're talking about now. And here's why. This is the revision of history. And this is just the case. And again, I'm not trying to demean this individual. But here's the overarching summary of this particular video. Lockley, and I'm actually going to show you this. I'm reading this from a Reddit article that somebody took this and broke it down point by point, quote by quote, with timestamps. So this is not, you know, this is not subjective or anything. This is actually being pulled from the words. And if you don't believe me, you can go watch the video from the man himself. But this is incredibly telling of what we're dealing with today in our current society of video games and storytelling. Because Lockley truly has, as this says, become the main credible source for information about Yasuke. Now, he actually goes through and in this will admit that he took 13 sentences. I want to make this very clear. I have this written down. I'm reading this off here. 13 sentences from primary source material and made, quote, research-based assumptions. Those research-based assumptions wrote the 480-page book, African Samurai, The True Story of Yasuke, a Legendary Black Warrior in Feudal Japan. You understand how big of a deal that is, because 13 sentences allowed him to stretch out 480 pages worth of what he now denotes as fact. Now, those two previous articles we read, one from the Smithsonian and one from the Michigan State University, they're both using this book as primary reference material for these articles that are being passed off as fact. That's a problem. We understand that's a problem. You have to understand the context of what it is that we are looking at. And what we are looking at is an extrapolation of history that we have no confirmation of. We have some you know, ancient paintings here and there. We have 13 sentences of actual material. We have very little material that we can actually establish some level of legitimacy of this man's life. Let me take it so far as this. We do not actually know the name, the original name of Yasuke, or his origin. We know his history in very sparse detail, beginning in, what did I say, 1579? That is not information that you can pass off as fact when you don't have information on him. It's very simple. And it is purely embellishment in the name of nonfiction. And that is completely contrary to those words cannot exist in the same sentence. That's why we're here talking about this. Because Alyssa Ralph, the lead writer for this game, also the lead writer for all of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the previous most criticized game of Assassin's Creed, she is the main writer for Assassin's Creed Shadow. She used, and all of these writers used, this kind of information to establish a historical narrative on. And not one based out of any legitimacy, not one based out of fact, no, one based out of 13 sentences of primary source material that was extrapolated into 480 pages. And even so far as to go and claim, Alyssa Ralph went so far as to claim that Yasuke was a proud member of the LGBT community. I'm going to let that one sink in for a second. Because a man from 1579, who we have almost no record of, was a proud member of the LGBT community. I don't think I have to go into detail how freaking ridiculous that actually is, right? That's understood that that's nonsense. Now, it is also important to note that Alyssa Ralph also wrote a book about ancient sexual practices in feudal Japan. Not even going to spend the time on that one. Not worth it. Really not worth it. But she does not have a track record that's really, let's say, enticing for historical accuracy within a video game. She just isn't. And again, I'm not sitting here attempting to demean this individual, but this has been passed off as historically based. Now, the issues that we've discussed with Yasuke is big. I mean, those are big issues, especially for a game that has for so long been marketed as historically based, and even so far as being an educational tool. Now, let's take that out of the equation. Let's take Yasuke out of the equation. Let's take his history away, right? What about the game itself? Because even in the worst of all of the old games, they were historically accurate in the world that you walked around in. I mean, some of these games were so accurate that you can go and visit them today in real life from Assassin's Creed 2, from Assassin's Creed 1, I believe. You can go see these. They come up on my feed on YouTube, on everything now. Because these people will go and say, oh, I played this as a kid, and now I'm seeing it in real life as an adult. That's awesome. Because we learned about it through the game, the world that we got to walk around in these settings. But again, in Assassin's Creed Shadows, that seems to have changed. Look at this. This is the collector's edition of Assassin's Creed Shadows. I want to make something very clear here. What you are looking at is a collector's edition version of this game that comes obviously with the game, and then everything else that you see here. A wall scroll, two lithographs, a collector's art book, 40 centimeter statues, a parchment version of the world map that you play in, the katana suba, like a steel case version of the game, and all in this big box, and it is $280. $280. Now, as a nerd of Assassin's Creed, I look at that and go, okay, credit where credit is due, right? That's cool. That's a really cool thing. If you are willing, if you say you're really interested in feudal Japan, you're interested to play this game and to learn about it, That is a very nice little desk piece that you can put on your little collector shelf and go about your day. I think that's awesome. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because for the first time that I have seen, at least to this scale, Assassin's Creed Shadows has been getting absolutely lambasted for the accuracy of what it's already portraying, which isn't much. I'm going to read this first section here, and this is from, it's from Automaton Media here. Assassin's Creed Shadow has been prompting reactions from Japanese social media users again lately regarding historical inaccuracies in the extended gameplay walkthrough trailer and the merchandise. This time it's not about the tatami mats, which were the big first thing that came out. The tatami mats that it showed in the extended gameplay trailer were the wrong shape, the wrong size, and just historically inaccurate. And this is something within the game world, not something that it's trying to teach you. It's just within the what's supposed to be a historically accurate game world. No. Now, we're seeing more than just those mats, but we're seeing mistakes with the Oda clan crest and the Japanese kanji characters. These mistakes are present in the merchandise, including the game's collector's edition and puzzle box. What we just looked at here, these crests that you see point blank in the middle, on the chest and on the flag, they're incorrect. And what they go on to say is that the real life warlord who purchased, as far as we believe, purchased or took in Yasuke, his clan crest is upside down on the coat. And then you have some Japanese Twitter users that come out and say this. And I actually have the translation here. And the translation of this is, the new Assassin's Creed game is insane. Even though people are harvesting rice, the cherry blossoms are blooming, weird-sized tatami mats that are square and have no border, the hip-hop music in Yasuke's entrance scene, and he laughs and says it's DJ Yasuke, which is funny. Even though Yasuke is Oda Nobunaga's retainer, he wears the Toyotomi family crest. And also, you don't light incense at shrines. That's the translation of this Japanese user. The collector's edition has become a large target of this. Because to start with, the issues with the clan crest, the clan crests on the figures themselves are inaccurate. Yasuke is fighting for Nobunaga, and his armor correctly bears the Oda family crest. However, his banners bear the Toyotomi family crest, which is a pretty glaring mistake. Now, this crest is, granted, used in other facets, but this was used in actual history when this crest was, when he was made shogun in 1568. There's even a woodblock print of him wearing the crest on his clothing. Now, this is so important because we're talking about actual history and things based in actual history. Again, let's take the drama away from Yasuke. This is a list of issues. I'll even show you right here. Inaccuracies in the family crest, verified by an actual source painting of Oda with his correct crest. Now, if he's supposed to be fighting, quote unquote, for his lord, Oda, this is inaccurate. These are inaccuracies in the game world. In the season of the game that you play, you should not be collecting rice. In the season of the game that you play, cherry blossoms should not be blooming. And it keeps going. It keeps getting worse. Take a look at this. I'll just swap it over here for you. This right here is one of the collector's edition boxes. And you can see there's a lot of information here in Japanese. Well, what people are seeing now is that Yasuka's name is written on the collector's edition box. But the second kanji character is written as two separate kanji characters. And this changes the meaning and the reading completely. Also, They have been sending to content creators a special puzzle box. That's what you're just looking at. The idea is to try to have them on a live stream figure it out and open it. But it's been pointed out that the Japanese kanji characters on the box is written incorrectly, despite being written correctly on the word next to it. So those two that you just saw here that are boxed in here, the left blue is written correctly. The right blue is it written incorrectly. And this translates to something entirely different and incorrect. And this is the problem. Because throughout this whole back and forth, we have gone through this nonsense of, well, it's not supposed to be 100% historically accurate. Okay, yes, that is true. That's always been true. But that's not really the point, is it? That is a deflection of the point. And I'm gonna break this down and end on this. For so long, we have listened to the writers of these games give us very interesting stories, but were actually historically accurate. Like I mentioned, insofar as the map on one of them, you can go in real life and walk through it. That's what they would pride themselves on for years. And now we have a very left-wing writer doing what she clearly does best, and that's twisting history. And if you played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know what I'm talking about. And now they're doubling down on it, except this time they're not using a fictional protagonist. They're using a real individual and completely glossing over anything legitimate about this man. And what we do know, they're extrapolating it into blatant lies. That's fact. This is why I get so up in arms, because this is the kind of crap that I want to keep out of my video games, because this is stuff played by kids. This is stuff played by professors. This is written by the Smithsonian. This is written by the African Study Center, the International Study Center of Michigan State Universities. This crap is in our colleges. This is in our museums, and it's factually inaccurate. And it's a 5-minute Google search to verify that for yourself. But if you write something in the right way, you can twist the words to make something completely nonsensical and arrive at a meaning that does not exist. It is our job to do what we're doing here and speak out on this, because this is just as important in video games as it is in movies, as it is in pop culture in its entirety. Why? Because we have real people, real children, relying on an education that they're not getting. That's just the truth. And for so long, games like this were meant to be a great release. You get to learn something. You get to involve yourself in an interesting storyline. No longer. Now, we are just lied to. Now, granted, this doesn't happen with everything. But with a production company and a development company this big, like Ubisoft, we have to start calling them out on this level of egregious whitewashing, because none of this is rooted in any legitimacy. Yasuke was never a samurai. We have no record of him fighting. We have no record of him being in any battles. We have no record of him being crowned, quote unquote, or enlisted, I guess, or honored as a samurai. We don't even have the man's name. How can we draw the conclusion that he was a samurai? It's just to make a point. The same point as a woman who put hip-hop music to the background of a black character that we know nothing about, that she's rewriting the history of, and then calling him a proud member of the LGBT community? No. Sorry, not playing that game. And that's the most important part of this. It's our job as ruffians to stand up to this, because it's nonsense. What are we going to do now that's going to positively affect our children and our children's children? We have to do something about that. That's on us. And that's where I'm going to leave it. This has been episode 2. I have enjoyed breaking this down with you. Make sure you come back next week, because we're going to be doing some really cool stuff again. As I mentioned, my name is Birdman. This has been Right Click, and I will see you all later.